Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 31 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet, at least that we know of. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit the webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Global 2000 when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. Now, our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. And that's correct. That's 90% over the next 50 years. Now, let's not delude ourselves into believing that we're going to stop all of these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order upon all of us. But we don't have to participate in our own demise. We do not have to help them, finance them, or stand helplessly by and do nothing either. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and to stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's you and I prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000, this New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour documentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine. Send me an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing the book Global 2000, a blueprint for global genocide, published by John Coleman. Coleman is the head of World in Review. He's the editor and author of a newsletter that comes out, I think it's monthly. I think it's a monthly newsletter called World in Review. The acronym is WIR. They're located at 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. To order, just call toll-free 1-800-942-0821. Again, that's 1-800-942-0821. Let's continue. We're going through the Global 2000 report. Now, we covered Global 2000, the booklet, and now I'm going through the report itself. John Coleman is a former British intelligence officer, comes from England. He's in the service, he told me, until he dies. Nothing that's being reported here, nothing, is secret. It's all been revealed. It's all published. He told me one time, he said, now, there are some things that I know that are secret, and I can't tell you about those. And I shudder to think if what we're reading here is no longer secret. I hadn't heard 99% of this. We don't see this in the press. We don't read about this in USA Today. We read about it in the underground press. We read about it in the newsletters. But we don't see this published in our Time Magazine, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report. It ought to be, but it's not. It'd scare the pants off of anybody that reads the report. Going on, he says, I'm on page 10 now of the report. He says, the Holocaust unleashed against third world countries will not be confined just to these third world countries. And as I have so often predicted, when millions of Americans are no longer employable, the biological holocaust will be unleashed in full measure in the United States also. The levels of malnutrition will grow in those segments of the population who are totally unwanted. Those are the immigrants, the legal and otherwise, from Mexico and Central America, and inner city slum dwellers, which will open the door to AIDS-related complex diseases such as a virulent new form of tuberculosis, cholera, or the new strain Vibro 19 type that is sweeping India, China, and the sub-Sahara areas of Africa and Mexico. In addition, there's already a huge epidemic of a new strain of malaria, which is carried by the Asian tiger mosquito. This new strain of malaria carries in it all of the characteristics of a disease which attacks the human immune system. Epidemics are presently sweeping Asia and certain African countries. Added to these is the deadly Ebola fever, which is an airborne virus spread by sneeze droplets or contact with body fluids of those who come into contact with the victims. Those stricken with the virus literally dissolve in massive internal hemorrhaging. Even outside of the body, the hemorrhagic Ebola virus can and will infect all who come in contact with it in unprotected garments. Given the primitive hospital facilities prevalent in most African hospitals, health care givers run tremendous risks of being infected and then spreading the virus to all with whom they come into contact. No one that I've talked with knows where Ebola fever has come from. Those on the spot in Zaire, who are in a position to know, told me that it simply came from nowhere. The theory is that Ebola was unleashed in Zaire by being transmitted through enfolded scalar waves to areas where the first outbreaks occurred. This is the technique developed by Russian biological warfare specialists and perfected by them at the Lebedev Institute in Russia in 1960. Ebola is a ruthlessly efficient killer. 9 out of 10 people who are stricken die a torturous death. On May 15th, Ebola fever surfaced at Kikwit in Zaire. The World Health Organization reported 93 cases with 86 fatalities. This was not the first trial run of Ebola, however. That occurred in 1976 when 318 people were infected and 218 died. The disease came in a mysterious way and then vanished without any explanation. The 1976 outbreak set the pattern. A disease that kills 90% of the time is indeed a frightening prospect. The onset of Ebola takes only 3 days, starting with fever-like symptoms, followed within 7 days by total hemorrhaging. Ebola is transmitted by direct contact with body fluids of victims, including sneezing and cough droplets. The World Health Organization is lying about Ebola fever as it has consistently lied about how AIDS is transmitted, denying passage by infected droplets and insect bites like mosquitoes and stinging flies. The usual World Health Organization cover-up is that mainly medical staff catch Ebola. It is hard to get, according to World Health Organization literature. This, however, does not explain how rural communities in Zaire, far from any medical facilities at all, suddenly had Ebola appear among them and then disappear, just as surprisingly. The World Health Organization denies that Ebola passes through the air, but they will have to eat their own words. In the poorly equipped hospitals in Africa, some bordering on the primitive, it'll not take Ebola fever long to rampage through whole communities. World Health Organization, in the same breath that it denies Ebola being airborne, says that it's like hepatitis B and AIDS, also hard to catch. Can you believe these people who lie so consistently and so blatantly? There's absolutely no evidence that Ebola is hard to catch or transmit. On the contrary, the rapid spread of the disease, once it appears, belies that assertion. Ebola fever is a close cousin of Marburg fever, one of the earlier animal-man barrier jumpers, and intelligence sources say that it was likely developed in laboratories from Marburg. This would account for the dangerous situation that occurred in 1989 at Reston, Virginia, where monkeys from Africa were found with a milder type of Ebola fever. The question needs to be asked, what were those monkeys doing in a laboratory if not to conduct experiments with them? This Ebola Marburg virus is thin threads of less than a thousandth of a millimeter long, called filoviruses. There are 7 proteins in the thread wrapped around an RNA coil, one of which provides the virus's rigid structure. A second copy of the genes and a third allows the virus to enter human cells. Much of the research into Ebola has been done at the highly secretive Porton Down CAB laboratory in England, the premier place in the world for the creation of new viruses and bacteria. This came out in 1976 when the news media got wind of a lab worker at Porton Down coming down with a frightening new virus, which turned out to be Ebola fever. Ebola breaks out without any warning. One day it isn't there, the next day it is. People start complaining of a bad fever. How Ebola got there and how it vanishes just as suddenly is still something that we're not being told. American Army teams are scouring large areas of Africa and Brazil looking for the Ebola fever reservoir. They should not waste any more time, but instead turn their attention to Porton Down and Fort Detrick, Maryland, Cold Spring Harbor, and other CAB warfare laboratories. If Ebola fever was hiding in the forests of Brazil, it would seem logical to suppose that the native Indian population would by now have been decimated. Ebola fever has also appeared in the Philippines and in Siena in Italy. Enfolded scalar waves were used to transmit the new generation Vibro-19 cholera strain, rubella, polio, and meningitis, of which there have been serious outbreaks in the past 6 months. Diphtheria is another disease which has spread far and wide, even outside of Africa, especially in Russia, where an epidemic is raging, and in the sub-Sahara. The effect of these diseases upon already weakened AIDS sufferers is that they are dying by the hundreds of thousands in Africa and Asia. Measles, practically eradicated in the 1970s, has come back in a new and improved form, and it's killing thousands of children from poor families in the backward areas of Africa, Asia, and Latin America, people whose immune systems have been compromised through bad diet. The rise in the number of new generation measles cases in the United States has reached crisis proportions. Alongside the new antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis and cholera, epidemics are poised to strike in several places around the world, from where they could spread like a forest fire, in a world from where they could, in relatively short space of time, decimate tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of victims. The new generation tuberculosis is already well established in these areas, and we shall return to the subject of this ancient killer in due course. Africa, particularly West Africa, is a region waiting to explode into plagues of several different kinds. What happens in Africa is of paramount importance, especially to the United States, even though most Americans think of it as a distant continent, not to be taken very seriously about anything, and certainly no threat to our shores. This is a very wrong perception. Recently, an intelligence report on the volatile, explosively dangerous situation in West Africa was sent to me by a former colleague of mine. The report covers Nigeria, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and the Ivory Coast. The report concluded that there is an apocalypse of disease striding across the west coast of Africa, which poses a terrible danger not only to the people of that region, but to Western Europe and the United States also. Uganda and Mozambique in the eastern quadrant of Africa are also being ravaged by plagues that have spread to them from the west coast of Africa. So serious is the situation that the United States State Department has shut its consular offices in Sierra Leone, Gambia, Ivory Coast, and Guinea because disease has brought chaos in its wake, followed by mob rule. In effect, there is no structural government in control of these countries. This is particularly true of Sierra Leone, Gambia, and Ivory Coast, and Guinea. Anarchy is spreading along with savage regional ethnic-based wars in line with what Bellagio called for. Tyranny stalks the streets of Nigeria with mass executions, quite commonplace, and with huge segments of the population on the verge of starvation. There is a leaderless, lawless cadre of young blacks, much like the young cadres who terrorized Soweto near Johannesburg under the protection of the ANC. That's the African National Congress, now in power in South Africa. These are young thugs who are unable to fend for themselves and take to a life of terror and intimidation to make a living. West Africa is one nightmarish hell. The wars going on feed off the jobless, and the warring factions are killing each other off in record numbers. There is so much savagery on the streets that it has become almost routine, and nobody is any longer bothered by it. And yet, in spite of rampant diseases like meningitis, yellow fever, tuberculosis, dengue fever, sleeping sickness, and diphtheria, carrying away hundreds of thousands more blacks every year, there is a total lack of concern on the part of the West, and there is no mention of these harsh realities going on in Africa being reported in the U.S. media, and possibly so as not to awaken the American people to the pandemics which are but a plane ride away from New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles. Nigeria is particularly explosive, having become virtually dysfunctional. Yellow fever, malaria, AIDS, diphtheria, tuberculosis stalk the shanty towns around the big cities like Lagos. Rusting, corrugated iron shacks, covered in slime and filled with muck, stand cheek by jowl without sanitation or running water, other than one or two streams in which children defecate and then drink the same water. Everywhere there are black clouds of flies and mosquitoes. It is a biological hell, a time bomb set to explode at any moment. And when it does, no country will be immune from the pandemics that will surely be generated. West Africa has become a matter for the National Security Agency. The CIA rates West Africa as an area of grave concern. And yet the National Academy of Sciences says that 95% of the population increases in the world over the next 5 years will occur in the poverty-stricken countries of the world, such as those countries in West Africa. It is the people of these countries who are on the verge of huge outbreaks of untreatable malaria, tuberculosis, meningitis, cholera, and the newly evolved HIV viruses. These are the diseases that will carry off millions upon millions of black people, and very likely spread to every continent on Earth. While Ebola is grabbing the headlines, Africa's deadliest killer, sleeping sickness, is wiping out hundreds of thousands of blacks in countries like Zaire, where no effort is being made whatsoever to control either sleeping sickness or to treat its victims. Sleeping sickness long ago reached plague proportions, but because up to now it has been wiping out only black people, those of us in the West are no longer paying any attention to it. Now, that could certainly change if and when the Global 2000 practitioners decide to start including a laboratory-made version of sleeping sickness into the United States or Western Europe. On the other side of the continent, famine, resulting in widespread starvation, has killed up to 1 million Ethiopians, with another 7 million at risk. Intelligence reports that I have seen believe that the 7 years-long drought in Ethiopia was induced by weather modification techniques related to ELF transmissions, as happened in the 6-year drought that hit California. Here again, the weakened condition of the majority of Ethiopians has given rise to a huge increase in the number of HIV-positive cases, especially among children between the ages of 4 years to 10 years. New generation tuberculosis is also killing Ethiopians by the hundreds of thousands. Relief efforts have been so paltry that it does not take much to conclude that there is a nation in which Global 2000 is hard at work. In Rwanda, we see the Holocaust that can be created by ethnic strife engendered by third parties. Global 2000 got off to a good start in this small African country. It was the second murderous rampage this century, the first having occurred as an immediate outcome of the interreligious peace colloquium, which, as I have said, was held back in 1972. Basically, the task of the IRPC was to find ways and means of culling unwanted, useless eaters, population groups, by setting one ethnic group against the other, and Rwanda was the first experiment to see if IRPC theories could be put into successful practice. The second genocidal war between the two rival tribes was well planned, being under the guidance of Club of Rome's Linda Chalker, which belies the establishment media's account of indiscriminate violence. I want to pause here for a moment and put that into perspective. Have you ever noticed how the United Nations, you know, you'll watch them on the Lair News Hour, and someone will say, oh, we've just got to do something about Darfur in the Sudan. There's genocide going on there. But have you noticed that in 2 years nothing has been done? Do you remember back in this Rwanda, Tutsi and some other tribe there were killing each other? And it went on for about 2 years during the Clinton years. And there was a lot of talk about, oh my God, they were wringing their hands and just, oh my God, there's genocide going on. Did anybody intervene? The answer is no. The United Nations and the United States and Great Britain, you know, we wring our hands and we talk a lot about these genocides going on. Then we sit back and watch as 1 million or 2 million people are killed, like Pol Pot in Cambodia. Well, the whole world knew about that. You were hearing about it and seeing it on your television while it was going on. Now, we have now in America been so desensitized to this that when you see this occur, when you see the Book of Revelation come to pass before your eyes on the Lair News Hour, you're so desensitized now, America, that it will make absolutely no impression whatsoever. Now, we still hear about the Jewish Holocaust of the Nazis. That was experiment number one. They have not unleashed the final revelation upon us. We haven't seen the massive death that is described in the Book of Revelation, but it's going to be big. I showed you here in Psalm 91:7, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come to you. Now, there are some people that God says he's going to protect through this. And the people he's going to protect are those that obey God and keep his commandments. You might want to tuck that one away in your heart. Meanwhile, back on the farm, there's another side to this. There's the actual secular side that's being reported here by John Coleman. I think he does a marvelous job here in this report. I've covered this report on the air a time or two in the past. I thought I hadn't done it for 3 or 4 years, and I thought, well, maybe it's time to refresh our recollection. The Trilateral Commission, the CFR, the Tavistock Institute, the Skull and Bones think tanks, you know, these institutions are created for the express purpose of carrying out these policies. And they're being carried out, and they're being reported on in the news. Every day, you see it. You hear about Darfur on the Lair News Hour constantly, and they keep telling you this is genocide. Now, the members of the United Nations are doing absolutely nothing. They wring their hands and they talk a lot. Rwanda, they wring their hands and they talked a lot. And as these events transpire, those of us that are watching these events become more and more desensitized. Today in America, abortion, which, you know, when I was a kid, when a woman had an abortion, that was a crime worthy of prison. Today, it is nothing more than birth control. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just birth control. That's how desensitized we have become. We are now without natural affection, as the Apostle Paul pointed out, I think it was in Timothy, that we have gotten to the point where we have absolutely no natural affection. And in Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy 28, he talks about cannibalism, that when we Americans get to the point where we're no longer able to feed ourselves and in the siege, he says, we will be eating our own children. And furthermore, we will hide our children from our spouses so that we don't have to share. We don't have to share the food, that is, the children that you're eating with your spouse. Now, for people to do that, they have to become emotionally desensitized, and that's the process that we're going through today and have been over the last 20 years. We've now reached that point. Abortion is no longer a crime. Abortion is no longer something to do to be abhorred. Abortion is simply a means of birth control, like taking the pill. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, there was a very slick operation, nor was it simply intertribal hate that boiled over into mass killings. Intelligence reports made available to me show that the slaughter had already begun a few hours before the crash that killed Presidents Juvenal Habyarimana and Cyprian, I can't pronounce his name, Ntaryamira, you know, Joe Smedley. The announcement that the plane carrying the two leaders had been downed by rockets near Kilgally Airport set off a fresh wave of killings that grew in savagery. As we shall see, the troops who carried out the mass slaughter were already in place, which confirms that the whole tragedy of Rwanda was carefully timed and carefully executed. This is the kind of planning which was beyond the capabilities of these Rwandan factions. And the intelligence report went on to say, the fact is that Habyarimana, however you pronounce his name, was killed by members of his own party, and within an hour of the news, the military began a systematic sweep through the country in a carefully planned and executed premeditated genocidal onslaught. The first targets were the intelligentsia, the professionals, the journalists, the teachers, church leaders, magistrates, and then after that, the guns and machetes were turned on the general population, and we have evidence that one officer in charge of a battalion of soldiers ordered the entire Tutsi population exterminated. Now remember that President Clinton was in office at the time. It's about 1994, 95. And he wrung his hands and he says, oh my God, and the United Nations wrung their hands and they said, oh my God. And here we get the inside scoop from Global 2000, published by John Coleman. His intelligence sources told him this was just part and parcel of this New World Order Global 2000 plan being carried out in Rwanda. And you're going to see it carried out in other places. And when the North Koreans have the bomb, you can rest assured that Al-Qaeda is going to get it. Rest assured. And the same thing with the Iranians. And these wars like Iraq and peak oil and the destabilization that you see going around the world are the prophecies that we see in Matthew 24 coming to fruition. And John Coleman is reporting the news that Jesus of Nazareth reported in Matthew 24, and that Jim Lehrer is reporting on the news and bringing it to a form that, oh my God, it's actually happening. Planned that way. All right, hang on. We got to take a little break here, give you a little caveat, tell you what's coming up next here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. You're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School and ask for it. It's area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of the network or of the radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Give you a little plug here for John Coleman's book, Global 2000 and the Global 2000 Report. You can get a copy of it. In addition to the Committee of 300, let me recommend that Committee of 300. I've done a report on that in the past. I'll probably do another one in the future. But the Committee of 300 book, I think, is about $25, if I remember right. You can find out by simply calling toll-free 1-800-942-0821 and ask for their catalog. They have a catalog of their books and publications that they put out. I've never read a report from John Coleman that I thought was poor. Not a one. And I've probably read 30 or 40 of them. I've seen his World in Review. I've reported on it here on the air. I have done reviews of his Committee of 300 book over the years. I've known this guy. We're not bosom buddies. I don't mean to tell you that. But I've been to his seminars and his workshops. Paid my money and walked in the door and sat down and talked to the man and asked him questions. And I was never disappointed, and I don't think you will be either. Speaks with authority, says, I was there when that was done. I was in on it. I get the reports. He told me that he still gets reports from his MI6 buddies. He has sources all over the world. He's pretty well plugged in. And he told me, he says, I'm not reporting anything that isn't published. It would be against the law for me to report something that was secret. And he says, I know a lot of secrets. And I'm not reporting on any secrets. None. That's what blew my mind. None of this is secret. Not a word. All of this is published. And in his World in Review, he will cite the sources from which this has been declassified. Now, much of this might have been classified in the 1960s and 70s, but it's no longer classified, and so he's simply reporting on this declassified material that's old hat now. That I don't think that the average American even has a clue exists. Remember that phone number is 1-800-942-0821. It's toll free. Call and ask for their catalog. Catalog's free. Now, victims were rounded up. Now, we're talking about Rwanda. This is about 1994-95. These victims were rounded up and told that they were being moved to a protection camp. But once on the road, grenades exploded and rifle fire rang out. Machetes were swung, reaping a grisly harvest. We believe the genocide was planned 18 months ago. The amazing speed and ease with which the Tutsis were rounded up, they don't look any different from the Hutus or Hutsas, and tends to confirm the careful planning that must have gone into this grisly exercise. Now, that is a short overview of ethnic genocide planned, prepared, and executed by controlling forces under the command of the Global 2000 plutocrats. There will be a great deal more ethnic violence of this kind as passions are stirred up by the masters of intrigue. Now, to return to tuberculosis, remember you mentioned TB here a little earlier. Now, we Americans, when we hear about tuberculosis, we just go, ho-hum, that doesn't have anything to do with us. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on, boys and girls. There are some new strains of TB that have been developed as germ warfare. And these TB strains don't have any way to control them. I mean, they're out of control. Now listen to this story. To return to tuberculosis, 2 years ago, the World Health Organization somewhat belatedly declared tuberculosis a world emergency, something that it had never done before. And yet, there was no outcry from establishment media sources and very little attention paid to the serious situation. Other than in medical journals, tuberculosis was at that time and still is killing more adults than any other disease worldwide. Let me pause now for a moment and let me tell you that story again. TB kills more people worldwide than any other disease. Now, you don't hear about that. And it's not a problem in the United States, at least to my knowledge, right now. But it's going to be, shortly. And these diseases that are rampaging around the world, at least for us Americans, now imagine if I was in Africa, and I might hear a little more about it. I hear about it because I subscribe to these newsletters, like the International Forecaster, or Franklin Sanders' Money Changer, or World in Review, or Don McIlvaney's newsletter, and so on. That's why I suggest to all of my students that you subscribe to at least two of these newsletters. Two. Remember, God told us that at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Don't rely on the Lair NewsHour or CBS or Time Magazine. You need two or three sources, and that's what we do here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. When we get a story in here, we immediately try to verify it. Is there any other source reporting on this? Now, I'm reporting on Global 2000, but I have other sources that are reporting just like John Coleman. I don't know if we'll have time this week, but the Population Control Agenda by Stanley K. Monteith, M.D., another report on Population Control Agenda. Monteith, totally separate guy from John Coleman. Or I'll take Robert Chapman, who's also, I don't know if you knew this or if I've reported it, but Bob Chapman is also a CIA connection. He's also a spook. Or was. I guess he still is. You know, once you're a CIA man, and you know, just because you retire doesn't mean that you're no longer privy to a lot of secrets and a lot of people that have secrets. And they have to be careful about what they report on. That what they're reporting to us is not top secret or secret. And if they do, they'll be arrested and jailed for being spies and traitors. You know, these guys walk a tight line here, a tightrope. And I'm just reporting as a reporter. I don't have any secret connections with any of these people. They're not my bosom buddies. I don't want you to get the impression, you know, that these guys call me every day and give me these reports. I'm just like you are, just a plumber, blue-collar tradesman. And I subscribe to several of these news journals so that I can keep a balance. And then I compare these underground papers with the above-ground media, and then I compare that with Bible prophecy. That gives me my third leg. So I've got the news media, Dan Rather, then I've got the underground press, Bob Chapman, and then I've got God and Bible prophecy in Matthew 24, and I can put the three together. So, okay, now do you get the picture? Here's what's coming down. Here's what Moses told us was going to happen 3,000 years ago. Here's what Jesus told us was going to happen 2,000 years ago. And here's what Jim Lehrer is reporting is happening right now. And here's what this means by Bob Chapman and John Coleman. And here are the names and faces that you can put with it. And it's only Coleman, to my knowledge, that can put the names and the faces together in the Committee of 300 and tell you who these people are behind the scenes that are pulling the strings. You know, people like Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles and people in the media like the Rathers and Brokaws. I mean, these people belong to the CFR. Did you know that? These guys that are reporting your news belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. And they're all involved in this little program, you know, worldwide. It's not just a secret, you know, with two or three guys. I mean, there's thousands of these people involved in it. And it's guys like Coleman that identify and put the names and faces together. That'll give you the overview that you need if you want to be one of the survivors. Because remember, these people are telling you now very plainly, they intend to kill 90% of the people who are now drawing breath on planet Earth. And that includes me and you. They intend to kill me. And then along comes God in Exodus 23:20, I guess it is, through about verse 23, and he says, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And anybody that's messing with you is messing with me. And he said, 1,000 will die on one hand and 10,000 on your other, but it won't happen to you. Now, if you want to be one of those survivors, that's what my subsistence and survival school is all about. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of survivors if you're not practicing the Mosaic Law. I mean, not for guys like us. Now, there's going to be 10%, 600 million people worldwide. There'll be some Afghanis survive accidentally. There'll be a bunch of Iranians and Iraqis and North Koreans and South Koreans. There's going to be people all over. But people like Coleman and George Gordon and others that are out here on the front lines revealing these plans, there's not going to be too many of us survive to see the second coming unless God himself protects us. If God doesn't protect me, I'm toast. That's my conclusion. Now, there's a grossly understated figure here talking about tuberculosis. Other than in the medical journals, tuberculosis was at that time and still is killing more adults than any other disease worldwide. The 1990 figures issued by the Center for Disease Control put the number of deaths from tuberculosis worldwide at 2.5 million. Now, last year in the United States of America, 2.4 million people died of all causes. That's how many people die in this country. More people die of tuberculosis worldwide than die in the United States of America of all causes. There aren't 2.5 million people a year dying from AIDS. There aren't 2.5 million people dying of heart attack. Not 2.5 million people dying of cancer worldwide. Tuberculosis is it. Now, this is a grossly understated figure. It's actually worse than that. Independent research figures supplied by an intelligence agency source. Now, here comes the intelligence agencies in. Show that more than 2.5 million people perished from tuberculosis in Africa and India alone. Now, we wouldn't know that. Now, that's published by the intelligence agencies, you know, like MI6 or the CIA. Now, how many of us read medical journals? How many of us read reports from the Center for Disease Control or intelligence reports from the CIA? See, we don't see that kind of thing. If you didn't have an insider who has contacts with people who can get this kind of information. Now, here's the United Nations telling us it's 2.5 million. I just reported 2.5 million people is what dies in the United States. Now, here comes the intelligence report says, hell, we got 2.5 million a year dying in Africa and India alone. Hey, this is big time. This did not take into account the huge numbers of deaths from the disease in Thailand, Cambodia, and China, which the intelligence agency put at another 2 million in 1990. You can rest assured that 15 years later, it's greater than that. Now, figures from other areas were not available, but in the United States, a rather substantial number of people succumbed to tuberculosis last year. The same source report stated that by 2005 there will be a minimum of 20 million deaths worldwide from TB. Now this report, let me take a look here at the, when was this report put out here, John? I think it was put out in 1994. Let me just look here. Still looking. Hang on. July 1995. Copyright Dr. John Coleman, July 1995. 10 years ago is when this was put out. Now, no one is immune from droplet-infected tuberculosis. It is a particular threat to airline passengers, what with the same air being circulated for the duration of the flight. Now, I myself and my family never set foot on an airplane without taking preventive measures first, which we repeat if the flight is a long one. In how many bars and restaurants is this Minneapolis story being repeated? In the understatement of that year, Dr. Susan E. Klein, who traced the source of the Minneapolis outbreak, said the spread of TB at the bar or restaurant can be a major problem. Now, in my subsistence and survival class, we go through this very problem of disease. Of what value is it to you if you could survive the Titanic sinking, be one of the survivors, get off the boat in New York City, step out in the street, and get run over by a taxi cab and killed? I mean, you know, come on, boys and girls. You're either a survivor or you are a victim, one or the other. There are survivors and there are victims. You've got to be able to survive 64 life-threatening problems described in the scripture. 64, not just the few that we're covering here. I mean, there's a number of problems that are described in the Bible that are going to take their toll. When 90% of the people in the world are earmarked for destruction, when God Almighty Himself says He's going to save a tithe or 10% alive, well, you know that that's going to be heavy duty. Your chances of surviving are only 10% coming out of the chute. And how are you going to die? Well, many people die in earthquakes. We just saw a couple of earthquakes over in Iran. Killed a few thousand people. And we see tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and so on. And the Messiah said in Matthew 24, don't be concerned about those. All of those things have to come to pass. He says you're entitled to 70 years. Those of us that practice the Mosaic Law, we're entitled to 25,550 days. And a little more. You get 80 if you're strong. 70 years is the minimum, 80 if you're strong, which is about the average lifespan around the world, around 80 years, 75 to 80 years. And we're guaranteed that under the terms of the Old Covenant. So you sure as heck don't want to be tempting God by riding on airplanes without taking some kind of protective measures. And this fellow, John Coleman, says, well, no, I'm one of those that take these protective measures. I suppose that's why he's lived to be 80 years old. He's been looking out for himself and he's been taking care of himself, which just makes common sense. So very little, if anything, is being done to stop the spread of this new generation antibiotic-resistant strain of TB. There is the 1992 case of a homeless man who started an epidemic of the disease in Minneapolis, where he regularly frequented a bar. Within a short time, 41 people contracted the disease in Minneapolis. But health authorities in the city believe that at least 10 times that number were infected, and that they have refused to come forward for fear of losing their jobs. God only knows how many others have been infected by the same means. And here we have a certified case where one man has possibly infected as many as 500 other people in the Minneapolis area, and this is going on all over America. Indeed, it's going on all over the world. One of the reasons why TB has made such a spectacular comeback, apart from its suspected laboratory tailoring, is that there are so many millions of HIV-infected people in the world today. The TB bacillus loves people whose immune systems are lowered. The HIV-infected people have no resilience or resistance to the invasion of the TB bacillus. They are 30 times more likely to contract TB than those who are not suffering from HIV infection or malaria or Vibro-19 cholera or meningitis. All of these diseases are rampant in the world today. It would take a rather naive person to believe that this deadly cocktail of diseases was not pre-prepared with a specific purpose. That being to rid the world of 2.5 billion people by the year 2010, according to Global 2000 Blueprint. Now, whether they're going to succeed in reducing the population by 2.5 billion by 2010 remains to be seen. That's only 5 years away as I speak today. And the Global 2000 program is behind schedule. It didn't all materialize in 2000. But boy, with George Bush in office, and with peak oil now upon us, boy, we're starting to see things move now. And heck, guys like me, you know, us old farts, we may not live to see the second coming of the Messiah and the fruition of Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on. We might miss out on that. But you young people out there, you know, you're more than likely going to live through this or die in it, one or the other. You're going to either live through it or die in it. And the Messiah said that not since Noah's flood has there been anything like it. Now, a rise in the number of TB cases in a given location is a sure indicator that HIV is on the rise there also. Why the high rate of mortality from TB? Well, the reason can be traced to the following. First, a new laboratory-tailored bacillus has been released beginning in 1980, against which all known antibiotics are ineffective or only partially effective. The breakdown of the economy of third world nations has ensured that TB patients would not receive treatment or that measures would not be taken to quarantine TB sufferers. Poor health systems ensure that people will die in record numbers from TB, and by now we're all fully aware of the role being played by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank in this regard. Well, let me pause here and make an observation again, if I may, and that is that the birth certificates, or excuse me, death certificates, they list the cause of death that we most likely think caused the death. And so you've got people dying from AIDS. Typically, people don't die from AIDS. They die from some opportunistic disease, you know, like pneumonia or flu. The HIV weakens your immune system. So if you want to be a survivor, you need to have a strong immune system. And I mentioned earlier, if you have been vaccinated, your immune system has been compromised. You need to get on a program of immune strengthening. You've got to strengthen your immune system. Now, that can be done, but, you know, people smoke, and then they live in areas that have high concentrations of air pollution, and then they bathe in water that is fluoridated and chlorinated. I mean, you're doing everything that you can. You're putting as many toxins in and on your body. I mean, just standing in the shower, taking a shower with fluoride and chlorine. Your skin is your body's largest organ, boys and girls. You know, sit there and bathe yourself in these toxins day in and day out, you know, has an effect. And then you smoke on top of that. Then you probably drink to excess. Then you have genetically modified foods. And then you're probably nutritionally deficient because the foods that you eat are produced from seed that has been it's not natural seed. I'm looking for the word here. Stand by. You know, seed that is not it's either been genetically modified or it's been produced unnaturally. Now you put all of that together, and you have a weakened immune system. So if you want to strengthen your immune system, you start out by, gee, could we start taking into our bodies pure, clean water? Could we stop bathing in toxic poisons and bathe in clean, pure water? Could we stop smoking and stop drinking to excess? Could we start taking supplements? Can we start building our immune system? You know, God designed your immune system so that it will ward off every disease. Every disease. So when people get HIV, it weakens their immune system, and then any little bug that comes along knocks them off. And then they may have TB, but they don't get written up as dying from TB. They get written up as dying from AIDS, because we knew the guy had AIDS. But that's actually not what killed him. It was the TB that attacked him, and it killed him, but he had AIDS, and so we're going to give him credit for that. And so once you've been diagnosed with AIDS, your death certificate is going to say you died from AIDS. Actually, it's a combination. Now, these guys are serious. These guys are serious. When you've got 25% of whole populations of nations now infected with HIV, you know, we're talking about dying on a mass scale. And this is growing geometrically, by the way, boys and girls. It's growing 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. It's not just growing arithmetically. All right, I'm about out of time. We're going to have to leave it right there. We'll be back here with more on Global 2000 next time. Be sure to write for this book, John Coleman. You can call direct 1-800-942-0821. That's again, that's 1-800-942-0821. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.